I have been reading and just listening to different sermons this week, and what really stuck out to me this week is just about family. You know, it has been on our heart for a very long time that we wouldn't just build a church, that we would strengthen and connect as a family. And so just asking the Lord what that really means and what that looks like, because it's one thing to say we want family, but it's another thing to live like family, right? So that is what I wanted to speak on a little bit today. The first thing that I thought of was just the importance of communication. We all know in relationships that communication is extremely important. Without communication, we lack in every other area of, just period, every area of our relationship. So if I am unwilling to invest conversation with you or communication with you, I truly am unwilling to know you. That's the gist of it, right? If I won't sit down and talk to you, if I won't in passing even say, hey, how are you doing? And I'm not talking about the southern way of doing that. I'm talking about the real way of doing that. Like, I really want a true response of it from that. I have a friend that's from Philadelphia, and he would get so aggravated when we went to school in Florida together, and he would get so mad when people would just say, hey honey, how you doing? And he would be like, you don't really want to know. You're just asking me to be nice. You don't really want to know. And so I am talking about the kind that really wants to know, that my investment in you has to go past the southern greeting of, hey, how are you doing? It has to be like, hey, I really want to know what's going on in your life. And sometimes that's easy for people to be like, hey, I'm good. And sometimes you have to dig a little bit to get the truth out of them, right? And so we have to be willing to do that in order to be family. And so with communication, of course, we're going to talk on the God side of things because we're in church and that's what we do. If you would turn to Matthew 6, we know that our conversation, our communication with God is through prayer. You know, that's a different thing too. Conversations cannot just be one-sided. It kind of gets boring after a while, doesn't it? You know, we all have people in our life that we could say that really never shut up and let you talk. Usually that signifies different things. It can signify they're just really caught up in their own life and don't really have much time for you, or it could mean that they're just really excited about what's going on in their life and won't give you a chance to talk. So Jesus isn't like that. He kind of likes us to talk both ways. He kind of wants us to communicate with him and him communicate with us. And so if you would turn at Matthew 6, like I said, we will start in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm sure just about everyone could say it, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right? So we've seen this a lot. This is a popular thing, obviously. The Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. But the thing about the disciples is, what we need to realize is one thing. This is what I think is cool. The reason why the disciples asked Jesus how to pray was not necessarily that they just needed words to to pray. It was because they recognized a connection that they didn't have. They recognized a son and father connection. And so the disciples were like, I want to know how to pray like him. Jesus, teach us to pray. It wasn't because they needed more prayers. The Jewish culture, remember we've shared this before, that they prayed for everything. They prayed for everything, all right? They were constantly praying. That was part of their communication with God. That was part of their culture. That was part of their community. Nothing in the Jewish culture is categorized. It isn't, okay, this is how I am at work, this is how I am at church, and this is how I am at home. Nothing in their life is like that. It is simply, this is who I am. And this is who I am in God. And so because of that, the disciples didn't necessarily need to know more words. In fact, doing studies and things, you can find that every part of this prayer is from Scripture, of the Old Testament, of course, or from Jewish blessings or Jewish prayers. It is not original to Jesus. The Lord's Prayer is simply pieces of different Jewish prayers and different Jewish blessings and Scripture that he joined together and said, okay, pray this way. So it wasn't that Jesus was teaching them new words. Jesus was teaching them how to connect to the Father. Because before that, he was saying, you know what? It's about what you do in secret. It's about the fact that you pray in secret and you pour your heart out to God. See, that was a whole new concept. They didn't do that. It was the connection with a Father. They only viewed God as a reverent thing, a reverent person that they couldn't connect with. And here Jesus is saying, be personal with him. And so, just like in a family, we have to choose to be personal. We have to be that way with Jesus. We have to choose to be a son or a daughter of the Father. And you know, maybe sometimes we hesitate in prayer, or we hesitate to ask him for things because we've asked for things and we haven't gotten them, or it hasn't happened. I have very good friends that haven't been married. They're in their late 40s, and you know what? They're godly women, and they would love to be married. But I don't know why they're not. You know, they've asked. And so, you know, I was thinking about that in many ways. You know, there's some times where our kids ask us for things. Like Matthew, if he came up to me, if he could speak a little better, I guess, and he asked me for a go-kart for his birthday. No. He would try. But before I gave him a go-kart, I might want to make sure that he could ride a bike first. And then if he rode a bike, I might want to make sure he knew how to like handle a steering wheel a little bit. And then if we did get a go-kart, I may want someone to be beside him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God's timing on everything has to be the end result of how we are. It has to be, okay, even though I don't get this, I trust his timing. But a lot of times we get disappointed because we don't trust his timing. I wouldn't go and put Matthew on a go-kart right now, although he would have fun running over all of us. I'm sure. But we want to make sure that despite our disappointment sometimes in prayer, that we say, Jesus, we trust you. I trust you. Because, you know, the one thing about Jesus, and just like me with Matthew, I wouldn't put Matthew in it because he would crash and hurt himself, right? And that would just be like setting him up for failure. So Jesus wouldn't give us something to set us up for failure. But he wants us to succeed. I also heard this, that one of the preachers say, you know what, sometimes we just need to focus on what God answers that we don't even ask for. And he gave an example. He was like the oxygen you just breathed in. I was like, I never asked for oxygen. I've never needed it besides what he gives. So I imagine if I was in the hospital and didn't have any oxygen, then it would be very important that I asked him for it. But I don't think about it. He already answers those things. There's things daily that he answers without us even asking. But we trust him for those things, don't we? The second part of being a family is growth. I don't want my kids to be exactly the same as they are 5 years from now. Jesus. Personally speaking, I don't want to be the same that I am right now 5 years from now. I want my kids to be smarter. I want them to be wiser. I want them to be more in love with Jesus. I want them to be more confident. I want them to be willing to take risk, to grow. You know, that just comes from confidence, right? So personally speaking, we have to be willing to grow in ourselves. You know, I thought about this morning, and obviously we're small this morning, small crowd. You know, the Lord, when she was singing, "You're the only one that really matters," I love that y'all are here. But he truly is the only one that matters. I told Rick the day that we got married, I think it was the night before we got married, actually. We were sitting around. Actually, I think we had prayed, a group of us had prayed together, and I looked at Rick and I said, "I just want you to know, if I don't feel his presence tomorrow, I'm getting out of the church. If I don't feel the Holy Spirit and I don't know and feel his reality, then I'm running out the door." And he just kind of looked at me. And he probably thought, "Jesus, what have you just done to me?" But I was serious, because I knew that if God wasn't in it, I didn't want it. Right? I knew up until that point. I mean, that's a whole different story. But anyway.
So you didn't run?
I didn't run. 3 kids later, didn't run. So if you would turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Actually, we'll just start at 12. 11, sorry. "And he himself gave some," this isn't the Passion Translation. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, because growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow, that was rough. The Passion Translation for verse 16, for his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And all these gifts are imparted and operating effectively throughout the whole body. We are built up and made perfect in love. You know, we love to see the body of Christ operate as one, right? It's pretty awesome. Golly, Jared. I'm just kidding. I've always waited to for that to happen with my phone when I was the one that was speaking. So we are unable to grow to what Jesus wants us to grow into without our individual gifts operating. It says to the growth of all, right? Contribute to the growth of all. So what is the basic thing that we need to realize in order for all of us to come together and use our giftings? It's, for one, it has to come through confidence. You know, one thing that I have seen my children grow in this year, being at a different school, has been confidence. They get up in front of their class because this is what's required of them, and they quote poetry, and they do Bible verses and things like that. And so for Christmas, Emma sang a song. You have to understand that is not my daughter normally, right? But something has happened in her. She has jumped. She has grown in confidence. And I believe that every believer needs to be infused with confidence. And you know what the best way to do that? Is believing what people say about you. Right? Like Jared. We love Jared, and we encourage him, like, hey, dude, you have awesome leadership skills. You do this, you do this. People are attracted to you. You have major influence. He should believe that, right? But he has trouble believing it. Hey, that's all right. As long as it goes deeper than his head, right? The fact is that when someone, God places someone in authority over you that has confidence in you, man, you should soar, right? Amen. When God surrounds you with people that believe better about you than believe that you do about yourself, it causes something to happen in you. It causes you to be like, you know what, maybe I should believe what they're saying. Maybe I should believe it. And sometimes it may take 1,000 times for you to hear it before it gets bigger and deeper than your head. But it may not. Or you just wake up one day and you're like, you know what? I can do this. Luke 1:37 is the verse where Gabriel is telling Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant. Her cousin, who is old, is pregnant. And so Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. So let's think about that for a minute. This lady, in her old age, is pregnant. But even Mary, pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Gabriel was telling that to Mary. Like, you're pregnant. And to prove to you that nothing is impossible, Elizabeth is pregnant too. It was the fact that God was in her. That God was in Elizabeth being pregnant. That nothing was impossible. It's because God was in them, right? We gain our confidence when we realize we are able to do anything because nothing is impossible for God. And since He lives in me, nothing's impossible for me. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Be imitators of God as dear children. The NIV, I think, says as dearly loved children. Remember what I said a while ago. Jesus doesn't do something to set us up for failure, but for success. So He wouldn't tell us, be imitators of God, if I was going to fail at it, right? Just think about that. The Gospel of John, Matthew tells his disciples that they would do even greater things than he did. It's hard to imagine that. Many people believe different things about that. And then Paul in Ephesians said, be imitators of God. What did Jesus do? What is the greatest thing he did? What do you think? He loved everybody. Be imitators of God. Yeah. So what would that be for us? Since we can't die on a cross. But what does that refer to us? Like, right. No. We don't have to be. So my job to serve humanity, right? To serve, to love, be imitators of God. You know, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Talked about that. That's my job, be imitators of God. You know, if I know, for instance, I'm going to pick on my mom a minute. She still has the authority to whip me, so... Except, I was going to say I could run faster than her, but I don't know. I don't know if I can. Eventually I would. You're right. So, my mom, you know, I had talked about, for those of you that were here during the women's retreat, I talked about how she has overcome fear and she is tenacious about that. Well, one thing that she hates to do is talk in front of people. So we asked her if she would do welcoming and announcements and tithe and offering, and she was like, yes, but I think every time she does it, she still gives me a look, like, But you know, we know that that's a fear that she has, and I also know that by her facing that fear, she becomes more confident, right? And see, there's things that each of us has to offer. each of us has something to impart to the body of Christ. And it may be something so simple. It may be, you know what? I prayed today and Jesus answered this way. Or whatever it may be. A testimony, right? But because she's been doing welcoming and announcements, she stood up here and gave a testimony about the women's retreat without shaking. And it wasn't just a minute long saying, yeah, it was good, and sit down. She was able to share her heart and articulate that because she had grown in confidence. So that also comes by teaching, and it comes by pulling sometimes, pushing. Yes. You know, one thing that I have a passion about is teaching. And I think because when I see lies that we've believed, whether it's about the character of God, especially the character of God, you can ask Rick and others. When I hear something against the character and the nature of God, man, it makes me mad. I take it personally. Because that is my dad. That is my daddy. That is the one that gives me everything. And so when I hear something against him and against his word, I take it very personally. And some of that has to do with because I myself have encountered those places in my own heart where I've believed wrongly about him. I've shared many times just about a condemning God, how I believe that he was a condemning God, and I believe that he was waiting for me to mess up, and he was waiting for me to make a mistake. And when I made a mistake, I always heard these voices in my head tell me things that are not of his character. And so I think that is one way that we grow, obviously, is through teaching, but not just teaching. You know, if I'm not willing to face the lies in my own heart, you know, I was raised out today, but I was going to mention to her, she prayed last night just about how people have said that the floods are a punishment from God. You know, I was thinking about that earlier this week, I guess, from hearing different things, just about God punishing. You know, if I think about my kids, because, man, when they're disobedient, or if they don't do something I want them to do, I'm not going to walk over and break their arms. Or put them in the car and put it in drive and put something on the brake and cause a wreck. Doesn't that sound absurd? But we believe that about God sometimes. I'm sick, so I must have done something wrong. No, I wouldn't do that to my kid. There's no way I'd do that to my kid. There's so many things swirling around about the flood and swirling around about things like that. And so it's our job to speak positive about his character. Because things like that people say, and it's against his character. If we know the heart of God, we know that he does not punish or condemn us to get something he wants, right? It's called manipulation. He doesn't have to do that. Love draws us to repentance. Love does. Not floods, disastrous floods, right? Flood of the Holy Spirit would, right? You know, I think I'm going to stop there. I know this is kind of abrupt. But you know, think about some of the lies that maybe you believe about his character. Some of them are even unnoticed. I'm trying to think of one. popular one. Oh man. Just those sayings. God helps those who help themselves. That's not of Jesus. If that were the case, we wouldn't need him. We have Jesus because we needed him. God helps those who help themselves is not a scripture. It's not even scripturally based. That goes along with the law of sowing and reaping, yes. You know, even with that, though, we have to check our heart. Our motive has to be with him. Our motives, you know, that's another thing of asking things, praying things. Also, we a lot of times pray things out of our selfishness, and then we expect him to answer on that, and it has nothing to do with his will at all, right? Same way with blessing people. If we do it out of a wrong motive to get something in return, then it doesn't work that way, right? That goes along with Matthew 6. We give, we pray, we do things in secret. You know what? And if Jesus chooses to highlight those things, put them on a billboard, let him do it. You know? We don't have to announce what we do. You know, in Bible school, there were some people that were praying like 5 and 6 hours a day. I was like, you're awesome. But they'd tell everyone, what's the point of that? You know, that grieves the heart of God. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you give us confidence, God. We thank you that you teach us and that you give us confidence to face those lies in our own heart, that we may believe about you, God. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that sets us up for success and not failure. And God, you put us in a place with people that love us, that are confident in us, that encourage us. And God, speak life over us, Lord. And Jesus, even sometimes when we're corrected, it's because of love. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for people in our lives that speak life. Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to be with this city, be with this region, be with the counties around us, Lord God, that have suffered loss, Jesus, those people that have suffered because of the flood, Lord, I thank you that you supply every need. God, I thank you that in this, Jesus, you choose to use the church to shine, your people to shine through this, God. And I thank you that you comfort, that you bring hope, God. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, that not just physical needs are met, but spiritual needs are met, God. I pray, Lord, that you will enable your church to reach beyond just meeting a need physically, God, but enable them to see the spiritual condition of a person and reach beyond the need to give them you. Lord, I pray, God, for a confidence on your church, on your body. I thank you, Jesus, that only comes from you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you continue to grow us, continue to teach us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless each person here, God. Give them an amazing week filled with your presence, filled with who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.